It's time for TWIG This Week in Google. Aaron Newcomb joins Jeff Jarvis and me. We're going to talk about the GDC, the Game Developer Conference, some big announcements there, the Mobile World Conference, all the latest Android devices, the future of Google, and we welcome back Bradley Horowitz to the Google Plus team. It's all ahead next on TWIG.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com.
This is TWIG, episode 290, recorded Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. Stop spocking my bills. This Week in Google is brought to you by LegalZoom. It's National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom and the best time to create a business you've always dreamed of. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but they can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG in the referral box to save even more. And by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/twig. That's lynda.com/twig. And by HipChat. Collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at hipchat.com/twig. Time for TWIG This Week in Google, the show where we cover all the googly goodness out there in the universe, the cloud. And we throw in a little Facebook, a little Twitter, a little this, a little that, a little geek-sparing news. And speaking of which, Jeff Jarvis is here from...
I was just reading a little bit Gutenberg.
Gutenberg and the impact of printing. That's not your book. That's somebody else's book.
Somebody else's. Stefan Fussel.
Oh. You have written, of course, Amazon Kindle single called Gutenberg the Geek, which is quite good. Highly recommended.
Thank you. It's short. That's the benefit of it.
It's short and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's also...
99 cents. It's been there so long, I should just make the thing free now.
Yeah, you could, right? You can do that, right? Yeah. Give it away. Giving it away.
Yeah.
And Geek Sparing Gifts is his latest, and that's available on Amazon as well.
Thank you for the plug.
Reinventing Journalism. I saw you put on Facebook, you're starting to talk about what to do to make Facebook a better news outlet.
Yeah, I did a post about what Google could do for news and what news could do for Google. And next in this series, now a morning, is Facebook. And Facebook's actually already doing interesting things. I talked to them yesterday. Yeah. And so...
Neat.
They're doing neat stuff.
Neat. And joining us in-house, Aaron Newcomb is here.
Yeah.
He's with NetApp, but he's also a regular on many of our shows, like All About Android, Floss Weekly. Looks like you brought a game controller just in case you got bored.
Well, I know that this is in the rundown today. I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but there's some gaming news with NVIDIA.
Shield.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So we can talk a little bit about that.
Are you a Shield user?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is mine.
You have the K1 version.
The first one. Yep. Shield tablet.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In fact, Mobile World Congress going on right now. Mike Elgin is there. Miriam Jouar is there. I hope you've been watching our live coverage, not only on TNT and TN2, our news shows, but we're also streaming live specials each day. Day two went up, and day three will be going up soon. Mike wanders the show floor in search of cool stuff. And we did cover live. I got up at 9 in the morning Pacific time on Sunday to cover the Samsung event. I didn't get up for the HTC event, which was like even earlier. But HTC announced a new version of the HTC One. That's very much a evolution of the M9. You guys probably talked about it last night on All About Android.
Yes, Jason. Most certainly.
Love the M9. I've been a big fan, but there's nothing to knock me out there. You know, they replaced that silly UltraPixel, 4-megapixel camera on the back with a 20-megapixel real camera. But they put the UltraPixel on the front. Everybody's doing better selfie cams.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm a little disappointed? I really thought that we would start to see better audio DACs in phones, high-res DACs, this year. I really expected HTC to do it. I thought Samsung might do it. Neither. And so that's a little disappointing because I thought this was going to be the year for high-res music to take off.
not so.
I'm waiting for a phone to have kind of those accordion stretchy things so you have a built-in selfie stick.
yeah, built-in.
Press instead a button, of a kickstand. The kickstand thing didn't work out, but...
Yeah. They're getting bigger. If you just make them a little bit bigger, you wouldn't, you know, you just take a picture from the top. It's out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that phone, though, takes up a lot of space. The OS. OS is those. What's what I've read, anyways. The OS takes
on the
up
the M9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like a free lot space, of space storage.
Right. So yeah. I think it takes up
the new Sense.
Even though it has more storage included, it takes up was it like 30% of the storage. Your available storage is just taken up from the OS.
That's not good.
No.
Samsung, I think, actually has the phone of the show with the new Galaxy S6 Edge.
Are you convinced with the double edge?
Well, I'll say a couple of things. First, it's disappointing that Samsung, which really that was the last holdout for removable batteries and SD cards, you know, the back would come off. But in order to do that, you have to have a crappy plastic, ugly back. So they've gone to this full aluminum design with a glass back of all things, kind of like the iPhone 4. But supposedly better battery life anyway with a better battery and more juice protection in the Exynos processor. It comes in a 128 gig version as well as a 32 and 64. So I guess that's okay.
I still like to have the option. I mean, we've seen this before, right? I mean, no one's going to need more. No one's going to need more than 4 meg of memory. We've seen this before. Yeah. For most people, it's fine. I think for power users like me, I always want to have that extra capacity just so that I can switch stuff out, change things around. But at least they're not giving you a device that's, you know, 16 gig and no SD card.
Right.
That's awful.
Right.
But, yeah.
They've also touched TouchWiz as if they've continued to step back with TouchWiz. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty pure lollipop.
But it's still, the thing I'm still worried about is you know, even the underlying OS in a Samsung phone, you know, the settings and stuff like that, I just find its logic different.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Here they're comparing their own two phones, the, I guess that's an S5 with the S6, mm-hmm. or is that a Note 4? It's an S5.
Looks like an S5.
The new design. I think the thing that really is interesting about the S6 actually is the Edge. This is not the same as the Note 4 Edge, which I did not like. The Note 4 had two screens, a flat one and a curved edge run. That was a completely separate screen and could do a lot more than the Galaxy S6. You could have screensavers on it, and you could really set a lot of different things in there. But it didn't work very well. It was upside down, for one thing, which always bugged me. I could never get it to work the way it was supposed to work. This is not. This is one screen that just curves. They're melting the screen and curving it around. And so it doesn't actually add a lot of functionality. I guess you can't have, because it's a Super AMOLED screen, you can't have
the fact that you can have these five friends who are constantly on the edge. But I don't use my phone for connecting with people. I mean, I use it more for connecting with information than people.
Well, this is, I think the Edge, that's just using the extra screen real estate for something else. The Edge really is, I think, about beauty, about design.
Yes, it is.
In this case. And I think it's very pretty. And, of course, everybody's worried about the fact that this phone is almost entirely glass back, and a curved edge screen, which will make it very vulnerable, although it is Gorilla Glass 4. I think that's actually quite lovely.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
How did Mike and Drawer and Company say it felt?
Miriam liked it a lot. Miriam mm-hmm. was raving about it. I don't know what Mike said. I don't know if Mike liked it or not. I didn't hear him talking about it.
But the pricing, no confirmation on the really ridiculous pricing we've heard about.
Unknown. April 10th. But, you know, Apple sells a phone, the iPhone 6 Plus, that is $1,000 if you load it up. There's a market for that. They sold quite a few of those. So maybe Samsung has decided, in addition to the low-end phones they continue to make, to have one really nice phone.
I think that's what you're going to get out of the Edge. You're going to get a pretty expensive device, probably $8,000-$9,000, somewhere around there.
The Note 4 Edge is, I think, $120 more than the Note 4, something like that, for that extra little screen on the side.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it to me. I don't think I would go for it. I mean, unless there's some sort of functionality there that I just can't live without, I don't know. I
think it's style points more than anything,
Well, that's why I want it, because I'm a stylish guy. I want it to look good in my hand and feel good. I think it'll feel good. One of the things Miriam who said this, on phones where you're swiping in from the edge a lot, that having a curved screen like that where it just kind of flows over it is kind of feels good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's just a thought. Camera on the new S6 is the same number of megapixels, 16, but they have OIS in it, which the Note 4 has, but not the S5. And they have a f1.9 aperture, very fast lens. That's faster than anything else on the market. So we'll see. I mean, it looked pretty good. They showed low light performance head-to-head against an iPhone that was really remarkable, both in stills and video. But that's Samsung's demo. Here's the big news. The demo was normal. There was no Broadway number.
Yes. Yes, which was great. It was about the product.
It was.
Yeah.
And so two of the three presenters were professional women.
Yes.
So the subliminal sexism of previous Samsung events is gone. They obviously were sensitized a little
They're
bit.
Finally listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the Broadway one. I think you and I did that. And
horrible.
It was really bad. I think Ron was here.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we didn't know what to make of it at the time. So I'm glad they're coming around. I mean, you need to do that.
I think, and there was no fashion show with weirdly dressed models prancing around. It was just
no
really,
ridiculous skits.
No,
hey, let's live life on our phone.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think companies tend to do that. They try to appeal to a broader audience, and when they start having a product that goes beyond the techie verse, right?
Yeah.
And they want to reach that consumer audience, they start to say, well, we need to do these things without knowing what those things are,
right?
We need to have Broadway shows that'll appeal to people, and. You know, so it's nice to see that they're finally coming around. What typically happens is that people go too far with that stuff without realizing it. And it's nice that they're pulling it back in and hopefully connecting better with their core audience.
They even said the words, we're listening. Now, they were doing it in reference to the phone, but I think they're also listening to what we're saying about their press events.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a chastened Samsung. The S5 was such a flop that they realized,
Well, I think that's part of it too. I think they've got it. They've maybe learned that understatement is better than overstatement. And even if you consider that, I mean, you know, Apple invented understatement in its own weird way. It became a new form of overstatement.
Now, I talked about this last week because I had received it, but Wednesday morning in advance of the Mobile World Congress, Motorola sent us this E. Now, this is the other side of the spectrum. Here's a phone that's $150 out the door, the Motorola second generation E, but is a great phone. You make some sacrifices. The screen isn't as high res. It's not as big a phone. But I thought that was I think more people will be interested in this. And what that's going to do is, and I think Samsung realizes it, is if you're going to make a phone that is more than $150, it better be premium.
Yeah.
It better not compromise in any way. And I think the HTC M9 is that. I think the Samsung S6 is that.
The OnePlus One.
The OnePlus One is starting to look a little utilitarian.
It is. But I think it was interesting that it pushed the market.
It did.
When they said no compromises, I mean, they meant it. Yeah. I think the Nexus 6 is a better phone.
Yeah.
But it was a heck of a phone for the price and to show you what you could do. And tried to put in the best of everything they could that was available to them.
3 gigs of RAM in the S6, that's not an improvement, especially since they have a 64-bit processor, and they could go quite a bit more. They're putting their 8-way new Exynos in there, although it may be in the United States they use the Snapdragon.
That's what they've done in the past. Yeah.
That has to do with the system on a chip more than the processor. It has to do with the radios and all that.
Right.
I think they're sticking with Exynos.
Are they going to do Exynos?
I'm pretty sure they're sticking with Exynos here in the U.S.
That's what the rumor was. Is that confirmed?
You know, actually, that's a good question. I don't know if it's confirmed.
Samsung would say, of course.
But from what I've read,
it's Qualcomm chips at all. So,
yeah.
Right.
Also, let's see what else. I'm trying to remember any other features we're missing. I wish the battery were removable, but I think if they have better battery life, maybe it'll be okay. They have fast charging.
Yeah, fast charging.
And they're using
no water resistance.
They're using DDR4 RAM. No water resistance, which just shows that maybe that wasn't a selling point anybody cared about. Some did, but DDR RAM4, which is faster, and eMMC storage, which is faster.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see. But everybody's played with the phone in Barcelona says it's really snappy with that fast processor, fast memory, and so forth.
Yep.
So we'll see. We shall see.
It is interesting, though. Like, we're talking about Samsung, you know, making changes and listening. On one hand, they did, right? For such a long time, people have been complaining, myself included, about kind of the design aspect of Samsung devices and how, you know, I'm just not a huge fan of plastic and it feels cheap. And so they've gone this other direction, and they're putting a lot of focus on design and peeling back TouchWiz and everything. On the other hand, a lot of their success was built on what they were doing, aside from this year, which wasn't so successful. And what they were doing included removable battery, included external storage, included water resistance. So they're really kind of betting on the fact that these changes are going to get them back to where they were after such a difficult year.
Or Jason,
for the
do you think they could be in a way too timid? You know, okay, we'll be like everybody else, so we'll just do it more expensively.
That could be it too. I don't know. I'm very curious to see if this works for them, because they're really changing a lot after having so many years of doing, of kind of following a very particular path.
Yeah.
They're straying off that path now big time.
It's a big bet. I wonder if it's just about a flop of the S5. I mean, I wonder if that kind of taught them a lesson, or they're trying to, you know, come back from that, because I think that if the S6 is not as popular, then they're in big trouble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, two in a row would be bad.
Yeah.
The Note still sells very well, though, which is interesting. The Note 4 was a success.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they invented the phablet.
Oh, yeah. I think they were the first. Yeah.
They pushed the whole market to the giant phone and then didn't know what to do.
But it wasn't until Apple did it that it was okay.
Yeah.
BlackBerry announced an interesting phone, a 5-inch touchscreen for only $279. That's the leap. BlackBerry does need to do something to leap back into the market. The last BlackBerry all-touch screen I had, the Storm, was so god-awful, I'd have to really think twice about this. It will run BlackBerry 10, 5-inch HD display. HD, though, is 720p, not 1080p. So only 293 pixels per inch. Only. But I have to say, that's plenty, obviously.
On a 5-inch device, yeah.
Yeah, that's plenty. But when you look at the 5.1-inch S6, which has 577 pixels per inch.
That's crazy.
Numbers-wise, it doesn't look as good. I don't know if that matters at all.
Every time I see somebody with a BlackBerry now, I have to admit that I giggle.
Yeah. 8-megapixel camera, 1080p HD. They're just a little behind. 1.5 gigahertz Qualcomm. 2 gigs of RAM. 16 gigs of storage for firmware. Does have a micro SD card slot. 25 hours, they're claiming, of battery life. So, I don't want to leave BlackBerry out.
Yeah.
You know what I say? Bring back the Trio.
I don't know why you say that, but I'm glad you say it.
I'm going to be nostalgic for some old brands.
It's the Trio.
I loved my Trio.
Yeah, I
adored
guess.
My Trio.
Yeah,
I
people
was fanatical.
Did love those.
You know what I love? My Scion 3A. Now, that was it. Of course, it wasn't a phone, but you could put a phone in it. Nowadays, it'd be a phone.
I loved my TRS-80 at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I love? My Atari 400.
That's
you know
right.
what I love?
We could go on and on.
Sundar Pichai spoke at the Mobile World Congress. Google is going to give details of its U.S. mobile network in the coming months. Yes, Google is going to do a U.S. mobile network. He also talked about the Loon balloons. They're apparently close to launch. Yeah, that's global. That's global internet. An experimental mobile network in the United States. They want to do an MVNO that is sitting on top of, we've mentioned this before, the other carriers. In fact, apparently what they're planning to do, although Pichai did not confirm it, he said it will merge cell and Wi-Fi networks in a seamless way. But apparently what they want to do is just pick whatever network works the best right now and use that.
Right.
Which would be awesome.
My guess is,
it's great.
My guess is this is aimed primarily at Kansas City and Austin and such. Because they keep on saying it's small, it's small, it's small. If they have ubiquitous Wi-Fi around the markets like that, and you can do, 95% of the time you're on Wi-Fi, and only when it fails or you're out of town is it on
themselves. Well, Republic Wireless does that. That's how Republic Wireless works. Mm-hmm. They prefer Wi-Fi, and since there's so much open Wi-Fi around now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really open. That's the problem. You know, the fact that I have to go to—I used to have an app that would sign me into Starbucks Wi-Fi, and it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And the fact that I have to go through the stupid page—I've said this on the show before. I'll say it again, folks. I want a universal statement of giving up my rights and my firstborn, and I'll sign it once.
And I want everything.
Whenever it hits a Wi-Fi, say he's already signed it. He's already agreed to do everything.
Well, that does work. Not that this is a great selling point with Comcast's Xfinity service. So you remember it was a little controversial if you're a Comcast Wi-Fi customer that your Wi-Fi router also has this public network aspect. Mm-hmm. And here in Petaluma, it's a Comcast town. I can get Wi-Fi almost anywhere. And once you sign in with Xfinity Wi-Fi once, that's now a registered Wi-Fi network. So I don't have to sign in ever again. And I often find I'm on Wi-Fi, mostly because it's not working. And I have to, just sign in to Xfinity Wi-Fi again.
Right. I hate that. Mm-hmm.
Which is annoying. So sometimes you might want to forget it. But as they get better and better signal and better connectivity, that's a mesh network. It's a very interesting thing.
Or could we have, loon balloons or some other strange thing that they're thinking about? I don't know.
You saw that Mark Zuckerberg said it isn't sci-fi that's going to get internet to the next billion people. It's just carriers doing the job of, wiring. And I think he makes a good point. We talk a lot about Facebook's drones, Google's balloons. Waterproof Android phone, there still is one. Sony Xperia M4 Aqua.
How long is Sony going to stay in the business, though?
Now that's the funny thing, because there was some talk of them exiting the phone business. I think their CEO, some executive said we're thinking about it. And then it was very vigorously denied by another Sony executive yesterday or the day before, saying, no, we're in the phone. Well, maybe that's as long as the M4 Aqua is available, and then they'll get out of it. I don't know. It's kind of a mid-range phone, 64-bit octa-core Snapdragon 615, Lollipop, two-day battery life, waterproof, up to 1.5 meters, fresh water.
No salt
water allowed.
No scuba.
And chlorinated, not so good. And you should rinse it if you get it chlorinated. Just reading the specs. Starting price of 299 euros. That's about $400 or $500. It'll be available in 80 countries, but not the U.S. Not the U.S. They're going to stick with their flagship phones in the U.S. So
here's a question for you. Yeah. Do you think Sony could Kodak? Could Sony die?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's phenomenal.
I think there's a big chance they might.
As important a company as Sony was in the consumer electronics revolution. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, AI has been suffering. And I keep on just waiting. Somebody will come in. Somebody will fix it. No, it could really die.
Well, they announced, a plan for revitalizing Sony. And some of it involved spinning off. They have been spinning off a lot of stuff. They spun off the music. They spun off TVs. By the way, the Samsung phone, the S6, has a new form of payment. Remember, they bought Loop Pay. That's kind of an interesting technology. Jeff Needles uses it. It allows you to hover your phone over a swipe terminal. The phone sends out a magnetic field, which is read as a real credit card being swiped. In other words, Samsung's Pay will have touch to pay, but also this swipe capability, which will make it the most compatible.
That's going to work far better, I think, in Europe than here. I mean, in Europe,
I don't think do they swipe still in Europe?
Well, you do the chip card.
I thought they did chip and pin. Yeah,
but I think those terminals. When they come in a restaurant in Europe,
they do.
You
swipe.
Pay at the table with the device.
The swiper.
It's pin, but I think they also have a swipe there, and I don't imagine you can hold it up against that. But in the U.S., there's a hell of a lot of purchases for which this won't matter.
Well, swiping is going away, I think.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay for a restaurant check? I mean, how are you going to do with those kinds of things?
Well, they just get these new touch terminals everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal. Every restaurant, every waiter in the country.
They're mandated to. I think they're mandated to. This is all changing.
Is it that definite?
So we're moving to chip and sign.
Instead of chip and pin.
By October of this year, no more swipe. So there'll be a chip. But it won't be necessarily pin-based. You'll still maybe sign. So that sounds like the waiter, if he comes to your table, will have a thing that you touch your... I'm getting a new American Express card. It's on its way with a chip in it. I think all your credit cards will be replaced in the next few months with chips. That's, I think, NFC, right? You tap it, and then it registers it. You still may have to print out a receipt and sign it. Although, it doesn't mean you can't do chip and pin. It just means that they're giving him a little more time to get used to that notion. So chip and sign, though, is by October. Mm. And it may be chip and pin in many of the places you go.
Well,
so that's to fight fraud, although we'll see how well that fights fraud.
Yeah.
But that's why everybody and their brother is announcing these new payment systems, Samsung and Apple and everybody else, because Walmart, because they realize that all of the terminals are going to be refreshed in the next 6 months.
Right. This is a huge opportunity.
Real opportunity.
Everyone's trying to take advantage of it. Absolutely.
Android Pay even exists. Sundar Pichai talked about Android Pay to replace Google Wallet, which
tie in with Google Wallet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's because that would get really confusing, and which actually wouldn't be too surprising knowing Google. But yeah, it's more like APIs for developers to allow developers to kind of tie mobile payments like this
so
into
not
their apps. And
deprecate
services.
The wallet. I'll still be able to use my wallet.
Right.
So it will provide a secure store. It will have an API. Apps will determine when and where you can use payment cards. The Google system will tokenize card numbers, much like Apple and Samsung Pay do. That's one of the real advantages of these payment systems from the privacy point of view and a security point of view. You're not giving the merchant your credit card or any personal information, merely a one-time token, which they can use to verify that you are paying this amount. Google's Android Pay will use NFC for transmission, will support biometric authentication via hardware. Oh, that's another thing on the S6.
Oh,
They figured out a way to touch without swiping, touch ID, fingerprint. Right now, although I have to say, I've gotten used to the Note 4, and I'm pretty consistent on it. But see, I just did it, and it said, no, you didn't. You did it a little sideways. You have to do it just right. I do like this, and it does unlock Google Wallet. It unlocks LastPass. Mm-hmm. So there already is a standard kind of API for the Samsung fingerprint reader, but
you know
one that works like
Leo?
Apple's, where
you just put your finger on it, and it reads it, and you're done.
Apple's works so well.
Yep.
But you know what, Leo? You know what I don't want on my Nexus 6? A button.
Right. Well, as a result, you have a physical button, and this is why the Apple iPhone is a physical button, and it's why Samsung, mm-hmm. it justifies Samsung's continued
devotion to
the home button.
Right.
maybe they knew. So Pichai said that they're not trying to compete with Samsung's offering. It's just to give them another choice. And I guess it will work with a Samsung fingerprint reader, which is cool. No timeline. I guess we'll find out more at Google I.O. in May.
I am glad that they're stepping this up a little bit. I mean, for a while, it was unsure. I was unsure, certainly. I think a lot of people were, what was going to happen with Google Wallet? You know, was it just going to go away? I mean, I was really starting to wonder because I use Google Wallet whenever I can because it's more secure. People ask me, why do you do that thing with your phone? Why don't you pay by credit card? And I tell them, there's a PIN. You know, I can revoke things very easily if someone gets my phone or something. But I've been going to stores and it hasn't been working because stores are I guess, not subscribing to the service anymore or whatever. So I was getting really worried, but I'm really glad that they're stepping this up. I'm glad that they bought ISIS. Or whatever it's called now.
Soft card.
Thank you. Because I think that, I think the reason they did it was just because they got so worried with Apple Pay. I think that kind of forced Google.
Worried or they saw an opportunity. I mean, I think that, mm-hmm. Just as we said, this is the time. If you're going to put your flag in the sand, this is the time to plant it.
Yep. Yep.
Wallet was hurt because the carriers, chiefly Verizon, mm-hmm. Wanted to use SoftCard,
right?
And said, "Well, we're not going to let you use Apple." I mean, how many times have I installed Google Wallet or tried to on an Android device and it says your carrier does not support it?
Yeah,
but that changed at some point. Now everybody does, right? Have you had problems on Verizon with your?
Well, I have
Google
not had
Wallet?
Problems, but I run a custom ROM, so.
So you wouldn't even know.
I wouldn't
if you did.
Know. Yeah.
Google actually specifically took it into their own hands and changed the way Wallet authenticated.
They fixed it.
The secure element, something along those lines. The details are a little shady, but they basically went around the carriers and said,
good.
Okay, well, if you're going to block it there, then we're going to do it this way.
Well,
now,
whatever happened, I was real thrilled because suddenly my wallet was working and I put all my credit cards in there.
Right.
As far as I can tell, it's functionally identical to Apple Pay. The only difference is the fingerprint reader. I think it's great. Use a PIN instead of a fingerprint reader.
And now that's coming.
And everywhere that uses Apple Pay, it works. Because Touch ID is Touch ID, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever it is.
Yep.
Touch to Pay is Touch to Pay. So I'm not sure what's going on. And this is not good because consumers need to know with some reliability what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it almost feels like they've rebranded Google Wallet Android Pay.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way they rebranded Google TV Android TV.
Google likes to rebrand its things.
Well, it's all Android, right?
Yeah. I think that's the more consumer-friendly brand.
Yeah.
Right?
They know Android.
Yeah. People know Android.
Yeah.
Google Wallet? That sounds scary.
I don't know. Don't people trust Google?
But they, well, and they went, and remember, they went the opposite direction when it came to the market, right? It was always Android market, and they said, oh, but that's too limiting. Well, our bigger brand is Google, so we need to open it, so let's make it Google Play. So they're going in all sorts of different directions. That's Google in a nutshell right there.
Android Pay, I'm being told by the chat room, is basically an API.
Yeah.
And in fact, Samsung Pay could, in fact, incorporate it, could be built on top of Android Pay. So it's just an API. GDC, we'll talk about that. We're done with Mobile World, right? Anything else to talk about?
Just did your correspondents touch the Huawei Watch.
Sapphire display. First, it's an Android Wear watch, though, right? So
yeah,
functionality, it's got to be the same. Here's CNET's video of it. It's a
nice looking watch, though.
Pretty. Did they say a price? It's kind of a premier. Am I getting an ad?
You're probably getting
that. It's 1.4-inch circular display, 400 by 400 resolution, which is actually good. Yeah, that's higher than most.
It's a little bit smaller.
Looks like an ad. Snapdragon, 512 megs of RAM, 4 gigs of internal storage, heart rate sensor.
No flat tire.
Round is great.
Yeah.
Yep. Round is great. There's not going to be a lot of room on my wrist because the Apple Watch is coming. They're going to announce it on Monday and ship it in
April. You got two wrists.
An ankle watch. Yeah.
I do have two wrists. Yeah. But I'm already wearing a Moto 360. So here's CNET's, now that we've gone through the ad, CNET's first look here. Scott Stein is, so no flat tire. The problem with Android Wear is the outside may be different. The inside's always the same, right? But I guess that's not necessarily a problem, at least you know what you're getting.
Sapphire crystal on the screen, I think, is a good move.
I think
already on my Moto X, I'm getting these little scratches because it turns out when you're walking and stuff, especially when you're as clumsy as I am, you run into things.
Yeah, I don't see any scratches on mine.
I don't either yet. No, I'm one to scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're definitely going for a little bit of the higher end.
Yeah, look at the band. It's got a Milanese.
I think
band.
That's very smart of them to go for, hey, look, a watch is typically a higher end purchase for most people. So let's go ahead and incorporate some higher end features. A little bit smaller, so it may, it's still really thick, but a little bit smaller, so it may appeal to women more than the huge Moto watch. So, I mean, I think it's, it looks fantastic to me. I'm really seriously looking at this as a potential watch to buy. So.
I'm so bummed that the Apple Watch is iOS only because that means I have to switch back to iPhone. And I've really become fond of Android.
We have one of the stories that it's the opposite problem, though. If you're iOS OS, that you can use Android. Google's going to supposedly make an app so you can use Android Wear with your iOS phone. You want the opposite.
Right.
You want to hold on to your Android phone and have a Apple Watch, which I think makes sense, too.
Well, you know, the one watch that serves them all is Pebble.
Yeah.
And they made some big announcements, including they are now the most successful Kickstarter campaign in history.
Yeah.
They went back to the well, and they got, what, $15 million so far for the color Pebble?
All these things. You saw Amanda Palmer is at $13,000 a song on Patreon.
It's a crowdsourced world.
Yeah, for now.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Mr. Jeff Jarvis is here. Aaron Newcomb. We're talking Twig. We're done with the Mobile World Congress, but the GDC is very exciting. We'll talk about that and a little show and tell with Mr. Newcomb. That's going to be fun. Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Not a law firm. We hasten to add. Better than a law firm. They can connect you with an independent attorney if you want, but most of what you can do yourself at LegalZoom.com. They've built a system where you can fill out the forms, do the legal work you need at a much, much lower price than you would if you were hiring an attorney to do it for you. If you're thinking about starting a business, there's never been a better time, I think. In fact, this is National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom gives you everything you need, the support you need. For more than 10 years, they've helped 1 million business owners just like you, just like me. Our LLC, we're still 10 years later using that LLC that cost me, it was even less then. It's $149 and up now. I think I paid $69. I can't remember what I paid, $69, I think. If you need advice for your business, no problem. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but they've built a network of trusted attorneys that can give you the guidance you need for your specific situation at a low fixed rate. And during National Start Your Business Month, LegalZoom is offering an attorney consultation for just $50. That's you can't. Yeah, I can't get an attorney to tie my shoe for $50. If you're unsure about the best way to start, if you already run a business and you need some advice, this is a great deal. $50 during National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom.com. Go to LegalZoom.com to find out more. Attorney consultations are provided by independent attorneys available in most states. And, of course, you can always see the attorney's profile and unedited reviews to pick the attorney that's right for you. Get the legal help you need for your business at LegalZoom.com. Enter the offer code TWING in the referral box to save even more. LegalZoom.com, offer code TWIG. Legal help is here for your will, your last will and testament, your trusts, your durable power of medical attorney, all of that. And, of course, business stuff like trademarks, patents, and incorporations. LegalZoom.com. But do use the offer code TWIG to save. So what did you bring us, Aaron Newcomb? What did you bring us here? This is a...
This is your shield. This is my shield tablet.
And now this was the tablet to get for the last few months because it has the NVIDIA Tegra K1 chip in it.
That's right. And it is a fantastic, fantastic tablet. I recommend it for anyone, but especially if you want to play games. And NVIDIA is really raising the bar when it comes to games because they've added this service called Grid Games. I don't know if you've talked about this
like
before.
Is that like
Steam? These are online. So you've been able for a while to stream games from your home PC, right?
Like this on is, live kind of stuff.
This is like on live. So you can actually stream games over the internet.
So even though the Shield is actually a pretty hefty device, it's still only an ARM processor. It's not as hardcore as your PC. So the server renders the gaming off-site and then streams it to you.
Exactly. That's the way it works. And we can try to load this up as we're talking about it. But, I mean, this is kind of – this could be a disruptor, especially with a company like NVIDIA behind it, right? It's not a startup. People know what this is. They're familiar with the NVIDIA brand.
How much is it?
The Shield tablet or the Grid Games? The Grid Games now are in beta. So I'm sure these things will be relatively cheap, right?
Like $10 a month,
$10 or something. I mean, they haven't really announced pricing, but if you have a Shield tablet, you can actually try this out right now. I'm going to launch Trine 2. What's really cool about this is it analyzes your network and it takes a look at the Wi-Fi all the way out to the internet and says, is it working or not? Now I know that we've had a little bit of issues today.
Our connectivity is a little
at the brick house.
Is it not?
It's not good Wi-Fi.
You do have to have enough bandwidth and low latency to play a game because it's streaming in effect from the internet.
Yeah, we can try to.
That's all right.
We can try to connect and see. But yeah, so that all it is it streams and then you.
But this plays local games pretty well too, right? I mean, that's the point of this.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. It plays local games great, I've actually used it to play to do the streaming from my PC. And what I do is I bring the tablet out to the living room, plug it in because it's got HDMI out. I plug it into the TV in the living room. So instead of having to connect from the living room back over to my study where my games are running, I can just bring my tablet in there.
That's cool.
And then I pull in my controller.
And then it's like you're really gaming.
Yeah, you go pull in your controller and then you're just, you're playing away.
Wow.
And the controller is really built really well. We've done reviews on this before.
So Shield, it turns out, is not just this device. It's a name for products from NVIDIA. They're going to have a whole line.
Yeah.
They announced the Shield TV, which is a $200 Android TV set-top box. They announced it at GDC. They called it a combination of a revolutionary TV, gaming console, and supercomputer. Okay, that's not overselling it too much. But the streaming games, I think, are a big part of that, right? So you'll be able to do the same thing that you're doing there.
The same thing with that device. That device looks really, really nice, actually. I mean, I'm disappointed with my Nexus Player. I know, people typically don't like it. I've been using it. We still use it every day, but basically only to do Netflix because it's really unreliable. It disconnects from Wi-Fi. I think having a solid device like this that you can hook up to your TV, stream games either from your PC or from the gaming service, the Grid gaming service, I mean, I think it's really tremendous. And then I'm also, excited because since I own the controller, I can just use the controller to run the games. I don't have to get anything else. So they're building an ecosystem.
There's a free Grid subscription where you can rent games or buy games.
Right.
And then there's a paid one that's the all-you-can-play version.
Yep.
You can do either.
You can do either one.
Stream is 1080p, 60 frames a second. That's interesting.
And the TV device is supposed to be able to stream 4K to your 4K TV.
Now, it is more expensive than a lot of Android. It's $200, but that's still cheap.
Right. It's more expensive
than a Steam box.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. It's cheaper than a PC. It's cheaper than a console.
PS3 or an Xbox One.
Exactly. So, and it's supposed to be more powerful than an Xbox 360, for example, in terms of, because they're using, I believe, the X1 chip, the new chip.
This is the new Tegra.
The new Tegra chip.
It will even be faster. And that's a 64-bit chip as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see NVIDIA capitalizing a little bit on their chip technology that they've worked so hard on for all these years, building the graphics cards and everything. It's really nice to see them coming around and saying, hey, look, you know, we can build devices that can compete based on our and the chip really is the thing that makes the difference between this and other boxes.
So look for that in May. The grid service will probably launch at the same time. It's in beta right now. Good news. I think that's pretty cool. What else is going on at GDC? Google has launched player analytics and custom native ads for great.
Yeah, just what we want.
Game
right?
developers. they're gonna monetize us everywhere. And here's something called Nearby Connections.
This is exciting.
This is a feature that turns phones and tablets into a controller for your Android TV game. Protocol will be in an update to Google Play service. They're gonna highlight Beach Buggy Racing. Beach Buggy Racing.
They're all using basically their their devices as controllers for the Android TV.
It looks like a Wii U. And it looks like almost like they're playing Mario Kart.
I was just
this is what you want to do with your wife, right? Is be able to play games together.
I want to play games with my wife. Lisa, because, both her son and I are gamers. And I have an Xbox One. He has every game device known to man. And he plays a lot of games, and she feels left out. She says, well, I want to play games. And I was mentioning this on Windows Weekly there. I couldn't find any really good cooperative games, Call of Duty-style games, for the Xbox One. But the Nintendo is loaded with them. Yeah. So we got a Wii U, and that looks so much like Mario Kart. It's funny.
Yeah, it's a great game, by the way.
Mario Kart 8?
No, sorry. Beach Buggy Racing, which is what they're playing on the Android TV.
And the funny thing is, the Wii U basically is a kind of clunky tablet along with a Wii. And this is why have a clunky tablet? You've already got an Android device.
Right.
Use that for steering, and that's great.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, they're really capitalizing on the fact that the ubiquity of Android phones and devices and doing something a little bit different with them. And, I don't personally like to use my phone as a controller. I've done it before with other things. I don't, but it's there. And not just the controller aspect, but if you look at Just Dance, for example, with their integration with Chromecast, everyone can just, if they've got an Android phone, they can pull it out, load up the app, and they can all participate on the Chromecast connected to your TV. And I see this taking this just a step further. And I think it's great. It's bringing a Wii-like experience into the living room without having to buy the console and get sucked in, so to speak, into the Nintendo-verse or the Microsoft verse or the Sony verse, depending on what console you choose.
So now I want to know where I can get an Android TV. Is it in the TV sets? Are people putting in their TV sets? Well,
no. I mean, you could get a Nexus player that has it.
Nexus is Android TV.
Nexus player is Android TV.
And Sony.
The NVIDIA device that we just talked about.
Sharp. Others are making those.
Man, that was another
Asus, one. Here's the Nexus. So maybe I should get this. That's an Android TV device that will... When does this come that I can play games and do all of that stuff?
The update that they're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you can get the Nexus Player.
Well, you can get the Nexus Player.
Yeah, you can get the Nexus Player.
But when am I going to be able to do all this gaming stuff? Excuse my. I want to play Beach Buggies.
Available in an upcoming update to Google Play Services.
We don't know.
Yeah, it says it's available in limited beta.
Huh.
But allows select partners like Atari to display ad. Oh, that's the ad thing.
So soon. But Leo, especially because what you're talking about is doing gaming, I probably wouldn't recommend you get the Nexus Player.
Because it's not enough juice. Maybe get this NVIDIA thing.
It's a little underpowered. And even worse, it has 8 gigs of storage, which after system stuff leaves you with basically 5.
Well, now the NVIDIA, we should point out, only has 16. But it does have the ability to expand storage with an SD card.
Right, it has an external SD card. Yeah.
So... all right. Maybe I'll wait till May.
Yeah. Yeah. Marsworm in the chat room. That's right. Razer has another one that's the same cost, $100, that is definitely, from a specs perspective, better than the Nexus
Player.
It's
called the Forge TV. And Google Cast is the underlying technology for all of this, right? That I'm able to use cast to interface with this. So this looks like a good one, too. Razer's a gaming company.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They even make a controller.
I like Razer products. I still use my Razer.
Razer Boom Razer Slang. Mouse. Remember the Boom Slang?
The Boom Slang.
I still have a Razer Boom Slang.
Yeah. I mean, good stuff. I mean, it's pricey, but it works. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I think we have to. What do you have? Which one do you have, Jason?
Oh, you got it working?
Oh, he's got the grid stuff working on his shield. All right.
Oh, this is the Lego.
So this is streaming from grid. This is a cutscene right now, but it's going to stream the game. And that's the supercomputer in the tagline. The supercomputer is not this. It's the thing it's connected to, which is the server.
Right.
But it's going to stream down Lego Harry Potter, and you're going to be able to play it.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to play it because I paired this with mine. This isn't mine. Yeah, I did already.
So now we have to do a review on all of these. We've got to buy all these new Android TV things. So not the Nexus. You have that already, Jason. You say that's too clunky.
Nexus Player? Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Player.
Right. Maybe the Forge TV or maybe the NVIDIA. I have to say NVIDIA's got the inside track because they make the chips.
It's a little more expensive, but I'd say it's probably worth that extra price. Yeah.
Is the Forge TV available yet? No. So nothing you want is available now. All right. And apparently coming soon also from Sharp. TP Vision, and even Sony's getting into this game. Sony, who made the original Google TV, remember, is going to make a Bravia television set with Android TV built into it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Network interference. That's
our Comcast. Our Comcast has been not doing games, so well. So you're not playing this on the Shield. You're playing this on the server.
Right.
Shield just streaming it down to you. OnLive went out of business. Nobody acquired those assets, right? This is not OnLive.
That's a good question. I'm not sure whatever happened to OnLive.
Grid's been around for a year or two. Yeah, I think they just...
Yeah, network's not going
to
help us today.
Went to bed. That's the problem right there. There you have it in a nutshell.
Illustrated. Problem with that idea.
GDC is going on right now, the Game Developers Conference. It's a fun event. I think next year we should go down and do a GDC. That'd be a lot of fun. Interesting. One of the complaints about the Nexus 6, I don't know if you've noticed this, Jeff, or if you've noticed it, Jason, but the Nexus 6 was encrypted by default. Mm. So when you got it, it was encrypted, and a lot of people have complained that that's really slowed down file access on the device. Google has decided not to do that anymore. Google is not going to encrypt new Lollipop devices by default. But it may be required in future versions of Android, so get ready. They very quietly have backed down. I think that they acknowledged, in fact, if you saw the benchmarks, there's a huge differential in speed on the Nexus 6 because of that encryption. It's because there is an encryption hardware built into it.
Right.
You know what? I never really noticed it. You notice it in the benchmark. It wasn't like I was sitting there running my head, oh, my gosh, this is slow. But it does make...
Well, it should have been a choice anyway from the beginning, right? I mean, it's okay to pop up and say, would you like to encrypt your device? You know, you may notice a small
slowdown. You can, and that's... Yeah. Android's always allowed you to do that. You go into the settings. You can't use... you have to have a passcode, you know, either a longer number or a password. But then you can encrypt, which I recommend because, you know, otherwise that data is all visible.
Mm-hmm.
It's unencrypted when the phone is on, though. So remember, you have to turn it off for best results.
But if it gets stolen or something like that, you're protected.
But Ars Technica notes that new Moto E we're talking about, which is one of the first non-Google Lollipop devices, is unencrypted. The new Galaxy S6 demo units at the Mobile World Congress, not encrypted, according to Ars review editor Ron Amadeo.
It appears I cannot turn off encryption.
No. On the 6, you have to root it and modify it. And it's a little shaky on that. So Google has backed down a little bit. It needs to support full disk encryption, but it doesn't have to have it turned on.
That's the key.
It should be enabled. Should be, but doesn't have to be. It is very strongly recommended that you do it, according to Google, as we expect this to change to must in future versions of Android. But... that's fine as long as future hardware supports it with hardware decryption.
Yep.
And you have fast MMC or something faster in the storage.
Yep. And it's important to note, too, that encryption affects compression. Once you encrypt something, you can't compress it really at all because, right. the data has basically random. Been scrambled.
Yeah.
So there's no duplicate data to compress.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break and then it'll be changelog time. Yes, we're bringing back the changelog. Just a moment. Actually, there's a couple more things from GDC we'll talk about, too. Just looking down the rundown. John Carmack says Samsung is going to put all of its might behind the Gear VR.
All of its might?
All of its might.
I don't know if I'd recommend that.
Didn't Carmack go to work? Oh, yeah, he's working for Oculus Rift. And Oculus Rift powers Gear VR. So that's why he's talking about this. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com. We love Lynda.com, a great place to learn. Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for people who want to make things happen. It's for you. Maybe you want to master Excel or learn negotiation tactics, build a better resume, build a better website, boost your Photoshop skills, boost your photography skills. Lynda has something for you. Everything you need to feed your curious mind. How about Google Tag Manager Essential Training? I don't even know what that is. Maybe you use that at work. You need it. Google Analytics Essential Training. That I know and would be really great to learn about how to use analytics better. Localization for developers. Growth Hacking Fundamentals. You hear people talking about growth hacking all the time. What is it? Find out. It'll teach you how to quickly expand your customer base with low-cost, innovative marketing techniques. Ryan Hoover was here talking about that. Growth hacking. And I think we've got the king of growth hacking coming up on a triangulation. IOL. Lynda, LYNDA.com. Learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. Stream thousands of video courses on demand. Learn on your own schedule at your own pace. In fact, I love the transcriptions, beautifully written transcriptions of every course that you can search, find what you want, jump right to the answer you need. Because each course is kind of chunked up in a way that makes it very easy to just watch a little bit at a time. But you'll be amazed how quickly you'll learn. It's fantastic. You can even download tutorials and watch them on the go with iOS or Android. Create and save playlists of courses you want to watch. Customize your learning path. Share your path with friends, colleagues, and team members. And, of course, Lynda.com keep you up to date because they work with software companies ahead of time. So they've got classes. The minute the new Logic Pro 10 came out, classes available. Same thing with the new Final Cut, classes immediately. Get up and running on these new courses and these new versions immediately. Lynda, LYNDA.com. I got a membership for you right now you're going to love. A free 10-day trial when you go to lynda.com/twig. 10 days, the run of the place. Every single course available to you. Whether you're looking to become an expert, you just passionately care about a hobby, or you want to learn something new, it's great. It keeps your brain expanding. Lynda is a great place to go, a great subscription to have. Lynda.com/twig. LYNDA.com/twig. We love them. We even have, and a lot of businesses do this, subscriptions for employees. It's a good way to get them up to speed.
Absolutely.
Time for the Google change log. I was shocked when I went to contacts.google.com and I said, what is this? I don't know.
Yeah, I won't show it.
It's going to show all my phone numbers and everything. But if you are a Google Contacts user, you might want to go there and take a look at it. It's pretty sweet. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I just brought it up today. It does look pretty nice. It's a lot nicer than the old one. Right away, you notice that they've separated, and I don't know whether this is virtual or in reality, but you know, contacts used to be under Gmail. You click on contacts and you'd still be in Gmail, but contacts would show. Well, it looks like they're perhaps separating contacts out a little bit as a separate app. Cause now it's under contacts.google.com.
Well, it's always been there,
it always goes back to Gmail though, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the same one as in Gmail. Yeah. What I like about this, they've separated into starred and frequently contacted, which is nice. I think that some of the phones did that. And the first thing I see, you have 86 duplicate contacts.
Right.
Would you like to merge them? That's new.
Yep. Yep. So and it pops right up, which is great.
Yeah.
And this has been a problem people have complained about for a long time, the fact that, you know, your contacts come from all these different sources and you end up with five versions of your contacts.
Oh, it did such a nice job.
Yeah, it really does it very nicely.
And it did it instantly. Oh, my God, I've been waiting for this. So, again, this is something some phone operating systems offered you. I think Samsung might have. But, boy, it did that nicely. It did it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, God, it's been how long since they've updated contacts. I use it like crazy. So highly recommended. Also, yes.
The preview. I just was going to say that the preview, if you go to contacts.google.com/preview, you should be able to check it out.
Ah.
And it doesn't work with apps accounts, I believe, yet.
That's right. Why, Jeff. I was moaning.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah. So sorry for your luck.
Sorry for your loss.
If you have a Gmail account, it should work.
So, Jeff, don't use your regular Gmail account?
No, I use my apps account, which for God's sakes, those are the professionals and that's work and all that. I just can't. I do not understand how they make them second-class citizens. I don't understand it. A, and B, I'm sorry, I've complained about this before, but even when I'm not signed in to my Gmail account anywhere, I'm signed into my apps account. It is my account. When I open a new window for various things, it switches to my Gmail.
Yeah.
I'm not signed in at all. It switches to my Gmail. So sometimes when I try to open a document, somebody sent me a document, I can't open it because it keeps on insisting, no, Jarvis, you're going to open this in the account where you can't open it. You're going to open it in Gmail.
Yeah, that is annoying. And I what I found is that I get really good at changing the URLs to go to my second, third, or fourth user that's signed in just so that I can get back to the feature that I wanted to do originally, because it always defaults to that U0 user. And so, yeah, I find myself getting really good at hacking the URLs just to get to the right.
Would you do a little tutorial on that, a little Google Plus thing? And I'd kill to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can absolutely do it.
And you know, the thing about this is that's on, and Sundar's in charge of both. On Android, it's easy as pie to go back and forth from accounts. It doesn't confuse the phone. It doesn't confuse the OS. It works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Within the applications, you can easily switch. I would just kill my Gmail account entirely and switch my Google Plus to my apps. But I have grandfathered stuff. All of my Play Store stuff is on my Gmail account.
Yep.
And if you switch it over, you lose all your stuff. So I'm stuck. I can't do it. I'm sorry for the rant. But
no, it's a big problem. I completely agree with you. And I wish that, you know, I was hoping that when they brought out Inbox, that would be I wasn't so thrilled with the features of Inbox, but I was really thrilled because I thought it was going to merge all of my apps and all of my mail accounts, you know, 5, 6, 7 different mail accounts that I have. I thought, oh, now I have one place to go to read all my mail from all my accounts. Nope, sorry, you're an apps user. You can't use the Inbox yet. So
you know what? You know what, Aaron? Now I'm really stuck. So now when I go to contacts, it insists on taking me to the preview in my Gmail account. I can't get to the contacts in my apps account at all now.
That's not good.
Yep.
I cannot switch. You're not allowed to switch accounts. I'm stuck. I now can't get to contacts in apps. Hello, Google. Is there anybody there listening? Hello.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh, there. No, okay, now it came up.
See, they fixed it already. They fixed the switch.
Oh, wow, that's quick.
And I tried it, and then it says 404 error because it's insisting on now sticking with the preview because it wants to show me the preview. Google.
So here's another one that's, I guess, maybe a way to get you to upgrade your smartphone. Remember, there's an issue with early versions of the Google browser, not Chrome, but the Google browser that came in Android, the AOSP browser. It's not secure, and Google says we're not fixing it.
Mm.
And that's been the case for some time. If you're using – when did they eliminate that browser? I think it was in KitKat or maybe even – must have been KitKat.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was KitKat.
Mm-hmm. But the fix for a long time for pre-KitKat phones was to get Chrome. You just download Chrome and just don't use the built-in browser. Use Chrome. Chrome 42 will be the last version to support Ice Cream Sandwich or earlier. So you'll still have Chrome, but no more fixes after Chrome 42. I think we're at version 40 right now. So there'll be an update or two. Let me see. The last version for ICS is currently slated to arrive in mid-April. You will not get any more releases after that 43 and above will not work on ice cream sandwich. Of course, the version you have will continue to work, but it may not be secure. And don't go back to the browser built in to earlier versions of Android, because it's really not secure.
Mm.
So go to Jelly Bean at least. Kit Kat, Lollipop, all of them will continue to have support for Chrome. This is something kind of new in the Google space. Now, Microsoft and Apple have always done that. After a certain amount of time, an operating system dies. Google's problem with operating systems with Android is there's too many versions in use all the time. Maybe this is one way they can push that along.
Well, I'm assuming that, I'm looking at the graph here that shows the usage. It looks like there's only 5.9, maybe a total of 13% of the user base is using Ice Cream Sandwich and below.
Oh, but that's tens of millions of people.
It's a lot of people, yeah. But I thought it was going to be a lot higher than that.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that low. That's good. And maybe those people will finally get a new phone.
Well, or just switch to Dolphin or one of the other.
Right, you could use another browser.
You can use another browser. You don't have to use Chrome, right?
The problem is they're not going to know that, right?
Yeah.
By the way, HTC is making a virtual reality headset. We talked about the Galaxy Gear, the VR. This one, I don't know if it's this picture or if it really is like honking big. It's called the Vive.
Jeez.
Maybe she's got a small head. I don't know.
It's pretty big.
That's
big.
But HTC is not going the Samsung route with this. This is a true standalone.
It's like the Oculus Rift. Right. It has its own screens and all that stuff.
Makes it more expensive. You're the gamers. I'm not. Is this stuff going to be a big market?
No. But I'm alone in saying that. What do you think, Aaron?
No, I mean, I there's potential here, and I think that's why everybody's into it, right? There's potential.
Yeah, Facebook spent billions to acquire Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Samsung's doing it. HTC's doing it. Here's my take on it. It is for gaming, I guess, because it's immersive. And in games, you do want to when you're playing Call of Duty, you want to be on the battlefield. But we talked about this on Windows Weekly. I'm so much more excited about HoloLens and augmented reality. And Google, by the way, has a solution for that. They've acquired companies and they're developing very rapidly an augmented reality solution. Augmented reality means you still see the world around you, but superimposed upon it in the glasses are things, whether they're menu items, controls, a game you're playing. And I like that better.
More like a heads-up display, able to see infinitely, right? I mean, you can see infinitely. I was just talking to some friends of mine from our local makerspace, and they're actually their company designs. They've worked on the James Webb telescope and some other things. So they're into ocular technology, right? And they were saying that the benefit here is more in the heads-up display and the ability to look out infinitely.
I think so.
As opposed to these, Oculus Rift-type things that are a little bit limited and make you sick.
Make you sick, and they seal you in a room where you go to another place and you're sitting there, a sitting duck for burglars.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I don't know why I'm so paranoid about that. This is a deal with Valve that they're doing, and these are dual 1080p screens, which are more than we've seen so far.
Nicole Lee at Engadget actually had a pretty great review of it today and just explained her entire experience with it.
Get sick?
No, she didn't get sick. In fact, she walked away from it and basically said, this device has convinced me on VR. I was very skeptical going in, and this particular experience is VR done right.
That's funny, because so many people said that when they saw the Oculus Rift, right? Yeah.
But the Oculus Rift also, I mean, from what I understand, kind of a lower res display. And I think as far as VR is concerned, it's all about immersion and being able to escape your reality and enter something else. If you can get that view to be as clear and crisp as it sounds like we're kind of heading, then it becomes a pretty revolutionary step, I think, in the success of this type of technology.
I think it says something, too, that the fact that Valve has bought into this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because they've been investigating this type of technology for years. And the fact that they've chosen to maybe, put with their skin in the game with this device.
What's interesting is Valve, Jerry Ellsworth was working for Valve when she created their Cast AR, which is an augmented reality gaming solution. And when she was fired from Valve, along with lots of other people, she went to Gabe Newell and said, can I keep Cast AR? And he said, yeah, we don't want it. So Valve, probably at that point had made the decision, we're not going to go for augmented reality. We're going to go for virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And I think VR makes sense in gaming. Mm-hmm. I do think it makes sense because it's an immersive thing. Although Minecraft and the HoloLens looked pretty dang awesome. So HTC and Valve are making the Vive. Be interesting to play. I mean, it'd be fun to play Portal.
Yeah.
In this thing. We're going to skip the Xfinity ad here real quickly, given that Comcast is killing our bandwidth today. Let's see.
I mean, VR could be as big of a deal as gaming kind of has been, right? Gaming's always been, for the longest time, it's been this kind of passionate section of technology that a good number of people are into, but you know, it's just the kids. They're into the gaming and blah blah blah. And now it's overwhelmingly mainstream. VR
could be more too. Like you could go to Paris. You could
And that would be neat. Playboy I just see it being a huge gaming peripheral.
Well, it's also going to be expensive, right?
Yeah.
I've broken the stream. I was gonna somehow broke.
I mean, ultimately, we all want the holodeck, right? I mean,
that's holodeck would be VR.
Yeah.
Except, wait a minute.
Well, no, it could be AR.
Well, would it? Because the holodeck, you're in it.
You're in it.
And you're moving around in it. And it was a room, right? It wasn't you weren't lying in a chair with a helmet on.
Right.
You were physically moving through space.
Right.
So it's a technology that doesn't exist is what it is.
Just doesn't exist yet. But I think AR is closer, though, right? Because AR can take those lines on the wall and then paint over those with something different. Right.
I think that really, ultimately, VR isn't going to work until you jack in.
Yeah.
If I can jack into the metaverse, then maybe I'll play your silly little game.
It was pretty interesting, though, also to see HTC kind of spreading its wings a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Being like, you know, we've kind of struggled. We've made great hardware. People love us for our hardware, but we've kind of still ended up struggling in the smartphone tablet space. Let's try this new kind of emerging trend now and just make it spectacular. You know, partner with Valve, which they've done. Interesting stuff.
What do you guys think of the new Google campus? Are we excited about it? Or
I want to go there.
I want to live there.
This is hubris.
I know.
Isn't there kind of an axiom in business that when you start building the massive corporate headquarters, that's the sign that it's the beginning of the end?
Well, Apple too. You know what kind of bothered me though, Leo?
What?
Is that I've been in the buildings. They're absolutely fine buildings. Those buildings can last for many, many years. The waste of creating, you know, landfill out of tearing down those buildings just bothered me.
It's a restored natural habitat around Permanente Creek near the proposed landing project.
And here's the other thing that occurred to me. So what they're basically doing is putting a dome around the campus so you can't wander around Google anymore is what I thought.
It will be, you can bicycle inside it.
Right, and there'll be, you know,
you'll never leave
higher
it.
Levels and all that.
It's the biodome. It's biodome.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
I drove by, you know, drive by Facebook and it's boring as hell outside. Inside is Disneyland.
Right. Now, this is the existing Google campus, right? Which, as you say, works fine.
It's a building. It's a building with cubbies, you know, cubbies.
They're going to hooli it. That's what they're going to do.
Yep.
They're going to turn it into hooli.
From what they're describing, they're creating modules, like building modules that can move.
Oh.
So you're working with a team and you want to coordinate with another team.
Oh.
Your module actually moves to another module, to another section of the building.
It's like a hamster habitat.
What? Why?
It's a hamster habitat.
Yeah, or when you're working on the wave team and it disappears, you suddenly get ejected.
Yeah. You know, the helicopter comes down, picks up your module and everybody in it, and takes you somewhere else. Goodbye.
The other thing about it is that you know, I've been to, now I've gone to enough Google stuff out there where you end up across 101.
Yeah.
And people, there's a real isolation then. You really feel like you're in the kiddie table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
The other thing is, I think this also included an agreement to build housing.
And, well, I think that's how you get these deals done. Yeah,
for the town of Mountain View, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's critical.
Yep.
And they mentioned that the canopies will also block pollution. Maybe they're planning for, you know, global warming and the end
thing,
of the earth as we
in,
know
Google.
It.
Let me in.
I mean, it's like the TV show The Dome. Look at this.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll bet somewhere in some report there, There's the zombie scenario, how it'll keep zombies out. Knowing the geeks.
If you can retrofit these buildings and make them more environmentally friendly and save, you know, power.
But are these
and
the existing buildings under this building?
No. They're tearing them down.
It's all brand new.
Tearing them down.
It's Biosphere 3, I'm telling you. Look at that. They have a giant faucet.
No, this could just as easily be
sculpture. Look at the water they're wasting. Net zero parking. They want a net consolidated parking below the building. So once you get there, they take your car, they crush it, and you have to stay. Your car will never be seen again. It does look beautiful. But I'm just saying, when companies get this big and this grandiose and they spend this much money like Apple, that is often the beginning of the end. That's often the peak moment, said the guy who built the million-dollar studio in downtown.
How long does it take to build something like this? Like, are we talking 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, decades, yeah.
Not decades. It's not like Sagrada Familia. First, they got to get approval. That's what this process is getting Mountain View to go along with it. Apple's campus was a 5-year build. This can't be that much more complicated.
I bet it is. I mean, only because it's so much bigger. And if you go for the full view, and the full enchilada, that never happens anyway, right? I mean, this is a rendering. This is something that someone came up with and said, "Here's what it could look like."
It's like
possibly
a concept car.
It's only a concept. Yeah, it's never going to be like this. If they went for the full enchilada, I think it would be more than 10 years to get everything done.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's not going to happen. So, we're probably looking at 5 years, 8 years to get the majority of it done, if they choose to go this route.
I guess they can do it as fast as they want. Just, you know, hire more people.
Yeah.
Right?
They certainly have the money.
How much do you want to spend?
Some of these, like that image right there, that's why I said it looks like they were repurposing the buildings, right? It looks like they've taken the sides off of the buildings.
Right.
It doesn't look like they're completely
tearing
down the buildings.
I kind of like the notion that these canopies make you, that you're outside, but you're also inside. So you don't need walls in the buildings because it never rains. It never, you know, the climate never varies.
Right. It is a perfect place to do something like this. Because it doesn't matter.
And remember
that much
one of the goals Google has is to put its campus entirely on solar, be carbon neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be a part of that project as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. But you got to get rid of hobos. Okay. I'm just saying the hobos are going to love this. Yeah. It's so big. I'm just joking, but it is so big. I don't know how you keep it secure. Looks like you can just, like, it's not sealed, right?
Oh no! I'm sure it is.
Is it? You have to go through an airlock.
Oh, I would imagine that's what
it's a vacuum.
Yeah.
So if the planet, if all of the oxygen boils off the surface of the planet, we'll still be safe.
Still be okay.
The Biosphere 3.
The front door is actually in New York, but then you transport.
All right.
What's the fast tube?
The Hyperloop or the other
Hyperloop there, yeah.
Hyper pneumatic thing.
YouTube has a billion viewers and no profit.
Amazon has gazillion customers and
no profit.
Not much profit.
The problem is that in order to do YouTube, you have to spend a lot of money on infrastructure and bandwidth and hardware. And YouTube has revenue. $4 billion in revenue, that's a one-third increased over the year before that. And it's 6% of Google's overall sales. But I think we talked about this last week, actually.
I don't think Google's worried.
No. YouTube is a engine for Google. Walmart has pulled out of a deal with Google over shared data.
I don't think it's so much an issue of consumer privacy as it is Walmart's privacy.
Yeah, we want the data.
Google ended up knowing too much.
Yeah, that's our data, Google. So Walmart had signed up for Google advertising service that showed shoppers where products are available at nearby stores. But a month later, they pulled out over concerns about sharing store inventory and pricing data with Google. So there you go. I'm just looking at a quick. Oh, what's this about? Google wants to help you build your put solar in your house because I want to do
it's
that.
Just, it's the rental deal. I mean, it's not a bad deal, right?
Right.
They own it and they lease it to you, and you get the net value.
Well, this is nothing new. Their power purchase agreements for many companies do this.
Right, exactly. They're just investing more.
And this is actually in conjunction with SolarCity, which is one of these companies. So, yeah, that's a good way to do it. In fact, the school that I serve on the board is thinking about doing this. The company comes in, they build all the infrastructure, they don't charge you anything. You get effectively free power. You save a lot of money, and it's actually smart for everybody. It's a good business.
And my new thought, now that I have ice damming, is I wonder if it helps with snow on the roof.
Oh man! In fact, I forgot to ask Paul about this. He posted he had to have his snow cleared off his roof. He's had all sorts of damage and leakage and
we had guys tearing ice off the roof today, and I talked to somebody in Connecticut, and I said, sorry, I didn't call you back. That's why. He said, oh, yeah, well, I got somebody on my roof right now.
Wow.
Good news. In Mississippi, Google was being prosecuted by a local district attorney in Mississippi, actually Attorney General of Mississippi, Jim Hood. And then in the Sony Pictures Entertainment hack, emails were released that showed that Sony actually had approached Hood saying, would you mind going after Google for us? Yeah. So the judge has decided, Henry T. Wingate, U.S. District Judge, has temporarily barred Hood from forcing Google to comply with his 79-page subpoena, saying it was an illegal censorship campaign cooked up by Hollywood, agreeing with Google. Mm. The judge said Google has the better side of the legal arguments. Pretty embarrassing, frankly. Hood was trying to figure out if Google was violating Mississippi laws by exposing internet users to drugs and pornography. Across state lines, he is moving pornography across our state lines. Project Goliath, Goliath being Google, was revealed in the hack of Sony, and it was something the MPAA was involved in. And they found Hood. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, they got a previous attorney general from Mississippi to lobby Hood to do this. Paying a lot of money.
Wow.
Google just bought, we talked about this on Security Now, just bought the entire .app domain. So I guess ICANN is selling custom domain names, the GTLDs, generic TLDs. .app is one of them, .app. Google spent $25 million, and
cheap.
They bought a number of them. They've applied for .docs, .android, .free, .fyi, .foo. No word about .bar. Who gets that? Mm. And .app, ICANN's been gradually auctioning these off. For instance, .tech LLC spent $6.7 million on the .tech domain name last year, beating out Google. Amazon bought .buy for $5 million, .spot for $2.2 million. Google got .blog, and they say, well, we're going to make it easier for people who on blogger.com to, without any domain name fooling around, have a .blog address. But the .app, they're going to keep there. I don't know if they're going to make that public or keep it to themselves.
It's another gold rush. I mean, we're all old enough to remember when this happened back in the 90s, right? I mean,
remember sex.com sold for a lot. Everybody thought that the generic .com names like tv.com.
Right, right.
And sex.com would be worth
business.com sold for a lot, I think.
And they were worthless because they were generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely because they were generic. Turned out google.com was worth a lot more.
Well, the other issue of that is that what we found when I worked on newspaper sites is that if your brand didn't match your domain, you lost all kinds of value because people didn't recall you.
Right.
But if your domain is generic and you think that's valuable, you can't trademark.
You can't do anything with it. Right. So Google, because they are a registrar, lets you currently register. You know, Hover does this. They have a lot of crazy names. Google has .how, .soy, .minna. They want .dad, .here, .eat, .new. But some of them, there was one that they were going to keep to themselves. They were just going to own it. I can't remember what that was.
.god.
.god. They're keeping that to themselves. No, that's
.universe.
Let's see.
I think it's important to mention, since we had the story last week, Leo, and we talked about it a fair amount, that Google was going to ban adult content on Blogger. And then not very long after the show at all, they like a day or two, they decided to reverse that.
Yeah. We had an interesting debate. And I mentioned on Twit that you got involved in a Twitter conversation with a pornographer. who said, we support it because we think it's better for us and for kids if there's neighborhoods where adult stuff is. If you think about it, if you're in the adult business, part of the hassle is all the people trying to, you know, shoo you away. So am I characterizing it correctly?
That's what he said. Yeah, but then what's her name? Blue.
Violet Blue.
Violet Blue and others had an entirely different rationale, saying that basically, I think a lot of it is just people who are just different in life and are going to be discriminated against because they got rid of this. And so I think on a basis of free speech, I'm glad it's still there.
Yeah.
Of course, I never look at any of it.
They reverse themselves completely.
Never see it.
By the way, Steve Gibson just signed in the chat to tell me that the domain Google bought and is keeping to itself is .dev.
Mm.
D-E-V.
Mm. Interesting.
So if you're a Google developer, you'll have your own TLD all to yourself. Look at this on Street View. I don't know. Is there somebody doing zip lines on? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, they've got the backpack on.
He's zip lining through the Amazon.
I don't think I can look at this. I think my palms will sweat.
Oh, zip lining's fun. Have you not? Of course, you would never want to do this. Look at this. He's wearing the backpack on a zip line.
I would literally have a heart attack halfway down.
It's fun. I've done it in Belize. We have a zip line up the road a piece in the Redwood Forest up here, and it's really fun.
I've done it a lot of times. It's great fun. My mom did it. My mom at, 70? She did a couple years ago, 72, 73.
So fun. It's a little sweaty palm, but that's...
It can be, especially if you're afraid of heights. You know what scared me more was we had to go up. We were in Hawaii, and it was the climb up to the top of this huge tree. The zip line part was no sweat. But the climb up there on this little rope ladder to get up to this, 50 feet in the air, that was the part.
Yeah,
that
we had to belay down. That was scary.
That was a little disconcerting. But once you're up there, jump off.
Here's the thing you'll really like, Jeff. When you're on top of these trees, you're very high up. You're hundreds of feet up. They sway about 5 feet in each direction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like being on the outside of a tall building.
Yeah. You're
like, woo.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Now you're going to have nightmares. I will.
My palms are sweating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Galvanic skin response.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Celebrate good times. Bradley Horowitz is back running Google Plus.
Yay. Which is great news.
Very good news.
But notice, I can't figure out the criminology of the wording of it, because he said photos and streams.
Isn't that weird? He posted this on his Google Plus. He doesn't even use the word Google Plus by name or mention Hangouts. He calls it photos and streams. Remember that David Bespris had taken over, but Bradley was originally a Google Plus guy, right? He was part of the original team, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, but under Vic.
And so now Vic left. Vic. Instead of giving it to Bradley, they gave it to Bespris, and now I guess it's Bradley.
Bradley is so smart and such a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Really a great product guy.
Love him.
But
photos and streams, that tells you almost a little bit about what they see Google Plus as being.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And I think I think that the photos especially is the one service that everyone universally loves.
Love it.
Because they can just set it and forget it. All their photos are backed up.
Yeah.
Everybody I talk to that has used the service tells me a story of when they dropped their phone in the toilet or something happened and they were able to get their photos back and how great it is. So
love it. I love the auto awesomes.
Yep.
I love the playfulness that they do stuff on, special days like the Hasselhoff or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, Hasselhoff one. That was funny.
To do something like that again.
That was fun. What was that? Was that April Fool's? When did they do that?
It was really great.
I've got a picture of my son
here we go.
On the couch. He's laying on the couch with his phone, and David Hasselhoff is next to him.
Love that. Bradley, what are you doing in 3 weeks? April Fool's coming up. What you going to do?
Something good.
Something good, okay? No more of this toilet internet stuff. That's a waste of your energy. Do something fun for the users, okay? Bespris, I don't know how you pronounce his name. I don't know if he changed anything at all. I mean, Google Plus has just been kind of...
Well, he was already... Yeah, he was in charge of all kinds of engineering stuff. And I think it just was probably... I don't know why they didn't... I guess it was a whole rank thing. I mean, as a friend of mine tries to convince me that Google's like the military. And then there's all these ranks... And so Vic, you know, was a brigadier general pay grade. Left.
Yeah.
And you needed a brigadier right. general to replace him. But then the truth is that Google Plus is actually like a base in the Philippines. So
now what's the deal with Hangouts? This is also Hangouts?
That's what I can't tell. That's what I can't understand
This article in CNET says it's not yet clear what will happen to Hangouts, the communications feature of Google Plus. In a December talk, Horowitz said, the new leader, Hangouts is designed as an all-purpose communication tool marrying video, audio, and text messaging. I love Hangouts. Yeah, I live too. In Hangouts.
Yep.
I do too. But you know, Leo, and you know I'm Google fanboy and all that, but the fact that I'm now on a Mac doing Skype kind of hurts.
But that's a part of Hangouts is the video conversations. I use it for my texting.
Yep, I do too.
Yeah, I do that too.
It's the default texting on all my Android phones. Because I get desktop texting, mm-hmm. I make calls with it. It's my phone call feature on the desktop.
Mm-hmm. And I get Google Voice is integrated
Google
now.
Google Voice so basically is
I get
Hangouts
all my voicemail
now, right?
in there. Yep.
And I really love the ability to draw. I didn't even know this was possible. You can do drawings in Google Hangouts. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Okay,
that.
This is so weird. If you hover,
show it up. You put have the phone down so we can see.
Should I do it on the phone? I can do it on my desktop. The problem is I don't want you to see phone numbers.
Oh, I see.
So maybe I shouldn't do it on the desktop. Maybe I'll make a new one. Let me text you, Aaron.
Sure.
I don't know if it's going to show your phone or something. Let's find somebody whose phone. Yeah, I think it just shows your email. You don't care about that, do you?
No, it's fine.
Okay, so here I am. Let's make it a little bit bigger. So I can now, this is Aaron Newcomb. I could video call you.
Mm-hmm.
I can text you. And if I have a phone number for you, it will also allow me to choose SMS or Hangouts. But watch, as I hover my mouse over on the right, I didn't know this has been around for more than a year.
Oh,
a little pen shows up. You don't see it. And now I can draw to you.
Huh.
And that's going to send that to you. And if we're sending text message, it'll send it as an MMS. Isn't that funny?
That is cool.
Wow.
Nobody knows that. But you do know if I type woot, yeah, the little woot man comes out. So you got, and now the little woot man pops up. You know about that. Yeah. See?
Let's see if I can get it on my tablet.
Send you a drawing. And there's some other ones. What are some of the other little things I can type? Is ha ha, ha ha one? Oh, I know. Happy birthday. There's a message for you.
There's a message for me.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm gonna bring it up.
Did you see that? Happy birthday. If you just type this in the text. I'm sorry. I'm just easily amused.
That's cool.
Did you know that?
Nope. No
idea. Did you know ponies?
When you did it?
Huh? I'm going to send you ponies. Wait a minute. It'll show up on your phone. And maybe it's not. What was it? Is it.
Here we go.
Is it slash ponies? I thought that. Yeah. Look, little ponies are running across your screen.
do the happy birthday one again. That was cool.
It's fun. There's a bunch of these. I'm sure David will add. Bradley will add more.
Woo!
Woot! Woot!
That's cool.
Pitchforks. That's the other one. PITCHFRKS. The peasants are very angry. Now, I guess you have to do slash. I guess that's for the pitchfork salesmen were upset.
Oh, you forgot the P.
Oh, I spelled it wrong.
Itchforks is an entirely different graphic.
It's a different kind.
It's the title of the show. Itchforks.
Here they go. Here come the natives. Oh, they're mad. Oh, they're mad. The peasants are revolting. So fun.
That's awesome.
These are Easter eggs in Hangouts. Somebody pointed out they've got Nix software, and all they've done with it really is make SnapStream, but they could incorporate that into Photos. Wouldn't that be awesome? Bradley, we're expecting big things of you. Keep up the good work. All right. Anything else before we wrap it up? John Carmack, I mentioned this, says Samsung will really be throwing its weight behind Gear VR. Who cares? Apple passes Samsung in Q4 smartphone sales. But I think this number is interesting. 1.9 billion mobile phones were sold last year of all kinds.
Wow.
1.9 billion.
In 1 year.
In 1 year.
That's crazy.
What are there, 7 billion people in the earth?
Yeah.
1.9 billion. And apparently there's a big problem in Canada. Leonard Nimoy has passed away.
I love this story.
And it turns out the $5 bill in Canada, whoever that guy is, looks so much like Spock that Canadians have taken to drawing hair, eyebrows, and a little Vulcan, a little Starfleet symbol on the collar. And these Spocked bills, big problems. According to the Toronto Sun, the Bank of Canada is urging Star Trek fans to stop defacing currency. That is Canada's seventh Prime Minister, Sir Wilfrid Laurier, who happens to have the strong resemblance to Leonard Nimoy. There he is.
That's hilarious.
Really is. God, that takes an eye to see that. I wouldn't have seen that.
Well, right. Once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
No, you can't.
Apparently, there's all kinds. There's quite a few of them.
Because everybody does their own take. I love it.
Everybody's doing their own thing. I thought the one we showed first was the best, though. Wait, because they did the Starfleet emblem and everything on
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that spocking is now a verb.
Spock.
Quit spocking your $5.
Do not spock.
Yes.
That is a tribute worthy of Leonard Nimoy, yes. I might see. Uber is buying a mapping company. HBO has set its price for its cord-cutting version of HBO Go, $15 a month. A little high.
Well, it's pretty much what you pay for on cable.
Right. I think that's what the upshot of this is. You won't be able to cord cut to save money.
No. Oh, no. But you can save everything else.
Right.
I don't know. If HBO and Showtime were available, then I would start to consider it.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to pay for your internet. By the time you add up all the services, it's going to cost I guarantee you.
Yeah, they're going to get you.
They're figuring this out right now. It's going to cost you exactly what you're paying now. You'll go, I saved a dollar, or maybe it costs a dollar more. It'll be so close. So
I also wonder if I go and threaten a cord cut, what they would do.
They'll do what they did for me, and I'm now in my second year of free HBO.
Nice.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
See?
Two solid years of free HBO.
See?
And a bunch of other discounts, but...
I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, is HBO really? I mean, Netflix is still like $7-$8 a month or something.
Yeah, $9, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is that really worth it to get those HBO shows? $15.
There's certain shows. You want girls? You want girls? You know?
Maybe that's it.
It's the Game of Thrones tax, is what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, totally.
I am such a fan of wireless charging. I actually, it helps me determine what phones to get. I was really pleased to see the S6 is going to be doing both Qi and PowerMat. Those are competing. I added Qi charging to my Note 4, which doesn't come with it, but Samsung sells in a relatively expensive back. Hmm. And all it does is add a little circuitry. You note that when most of the Samsung phones have little connectors for that. So you just snap that on and the Qi charges. Not quite as well as the phones that has Qi built in, but... I love Qi charging. Now, IKEA is going to release furniture with built-in chargers.
Yeah. Isn't this the best? Your night table has it. You just put the phone down. That's it. But you know what I really want, Leo? I want a desk with Qi built in.
A Qi desk.
I want a Qi desk.
Qi desk. Yeah, it seems kind of silly to have nightstands. Let's have a desk.
Well, I mean, at night, you put it on the nightstand. During the day, you just put
your
phone
down. Are those lamps, do they have Qi charging bases?
I think so, yeah.
They do.
That's nice.
And here's the question. Is there a Qi charging laptop?
No, it doesn't. I don't think
it's good.
Now, that would be tough to charge.
It's using inductance, and I have a feeling, it's just not going to.
There's a Qi charging cutting board, apparently.
What? Why would you want that?
It looks like a cutting board to me.
Maybe you have a wireless knife. I don't know. Yeah, it does look like a cutting
board.
Doesn't
it? And they've got it surrounded by food. So it's like, I'll just chop up my meat and leave my phone on the cutting board to charge up.
All right. Well, wireless is, I love it. And all phones should have it.
This is so brilliant. I mean, why they didn't think of it before, just to make a phone out of it.
Those little pads, I mean, you could embed those into a desk pretty easily. I mean, they should be selling a desk. I don't know why they're not, but.
Well, Richard Gingras shows off his... woodworking projects all the time in bars and stuff, and I could imagine he would make that. Well, for that matter, I think wireless is coming to Starbucks, right? But there has to be little elements.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you went to a bar and the whole bar was Qi. You just put your phone down and it charges.
Yep.
I'm sad to say that one of my heroes, Matt Howey, who created Metafilter 16 years ago, Metafilter, we talked about this, was going through an economic crisis of kind. It wasn't making as much money from Google Ads and so forth. He's decided to retire.
Said it's leaving it in good hands.
Yeah, because the moderators are still there. It's a community. Yeah. But it is this. If you look at it, it really feels like the latter-day web, doesn't it? It's kind of the good old days.
Yeah.
And Matt is a sweet guy, and I wish him the best.
He is a great guy. And he's gone through this Surus in the past. He asked this question years ago when I was around it, and God bless him, stuck it out and stayed with it and really built something amazing.
Yeah.
So Matt, every season, turn.
If you want a broadcast career, we got a place for you. Just come on over here.
Yeah.
And this article from Kevin Marks, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus shun HTML, and he blames that on the infographic plague. I don't know, Kevin. By choosing images over links and by restricting markup, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus are hostile to HTML. And it is true. In fact, there's a new service that a new iPhone app that lets you screen cap text and put it in Twitter, and this is how people are getting around the 140 character barrier.
Not only that, I think Medium has it built in, so you can do that in Medium now.
Yeah, that's sad. So
it is kind of sad.
Here's my plea for, wait a minute, 2012.
Oh, is that? Oh, did I? How did I? It's my fault. I put it in here. How old
no,
is that?
No, it says on March 4th. Unless this is an old article. Kevin just typed the wrong year. Please provide equal space for HTML. That's not going to happen. And for authors and designers everywhere, stop making giant bitmaps when well-written text with charts that are worth the bit spent on them.
Well, charts and text that are searchable. I mean, you don't know the text that's been quoted in Twitter now.
You could say the same thing about podcasts. No, this was originally published 2011.
Oh, sorry.
On his blog.
It was on Medium, so I presume it was new. It's my fault.
Yeah, I think he reposted.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
so
which is great
news.
It showed up.
Nothing
my feed.
Has gotten better in 3 years. Still sucks.
It showed up my feed, so I put it there. Yep. So yes, it's
old
it's
stuff.
Kevin Marks' greatest hits.
We love you, Kevin. He'll be back soon. Do you want to rant on?
I think we're going to show the cover first. 1 second, if you click on, just show the cover. So Der Spiegel in Germany had what I thought was an absolutely ridiculous.
Oh my God!
So it has not the CEO of Google, but Sergey Brin,
Marissa Meyer, Mark Zuckerberg. Who's this guy to Sergey's right?
Uber, Travis Kalanick, Uber.
Oh, Uber's Travis Kalanick, and of course Tim Cook, and it's Die Welt.
Regierung. That means the world government. How Silicon Valley is controlling our future.
Oh, come on.
And it's just obnoxious. Now, I used the German N-word to describe this, and I got accused of violating Godwin's law. But my real argument is that they were using that kind of rhetoric.
Whenever you're talking about ruling the world, you know, that's...
Exactly. The rhetoric in it is just over-the-top ridiculous. And the thing is...
Actually, I kind of agree.
That's good.
I think these guys are mad. They left out Elon Musk. They left out a few people.
Yeah. But they're just pandering to a large popular opinion over in Europe, right, though? I mean, isn't this...
Supposedly.
They're totally pandering to a fear, I think a common fear that Europeans
have. I, for
one,
welcome our new Silicon Valley overlord.
I do, too.
I want smart people to run the world.
I'm ready to move into the...
Not ambitious politicians.
It's going to be a hell of a lot better than Congress.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move into the new Googleverse and shun the rest of society, right? The new Googleplex.
I'll live under the dome if that's what it takes.
Live under the dome.
Yeah, zombies be damned.
Embrace the dome, people.
But it is the staple. It has been for decades of a lot of science fiction, the idea. In fact, I think Neuromancer, corporations run the world, not governments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're headed that way a little bit.
Yeah.
When you see Steve Wozniak in a Cadillac commercial, you know times have changed. tell me again. Die Weltregierung.
Die Weltregierung.
Die Weltregierung. I like it.
So we don't need to go any further rant. But Spiegel just answered me today.
You know what? Der Spiegel gets a big pass for me. They've been one of the journals publishing a lot of the Snowden material. I'm going to give him a pass.
I would have too. I would have respected them. I think they're just over the top.
Too much. Too much. Yes, let's move on. We're going to get your tips, picks, number of the week, and we're going to do an inside twit right after. Lisa has told me we want to tell the world what's going on at this little business of ours, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Our show brought to you by HitChat. Actually, I do have some updates on our website. We've been using that's when I first encountered HipChat. We've been using it with our web design team in Austin down there at Four Kitchens. And they're a big Atlassian house. They use Jira and all that stuff. If you're a developer, HipChat makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. At first, you look at it and go, well, it's just instant messenger. Oh, no, it's a whole lot more. It's kind of instant messenger on steroids. It allows you to do document sharing, video chat, screen sharing. It works with 57 services. So there's a sense of fun to it, too, much like Hangouts. It has, emojis and fun things. It's just a great way to stay in touch with a team, especially if that team is spread out. Email, too slow. It's asynchronous. Meetings, oh, God, not another meeting. Regular instant messaging doesn't have all the features that HipChat does. And it even works with GitHub and Jira, of course, and Zendesk. We use it. I have HipChat running on all my systems, all my mobile devices. Works everywhere you are. There's even a great HTML5-based web version. So on a Chromebook, no problem. Easy to use. We've built a HipChat team for our engineering team, our sales team. It's just amazing. Get your team on the same page in seconds. Of course, HipChat has a freemium version you can use free forever, but for the next 30 days, you're going to get the full version of HipChat, including bonus features of video and screen sharing. You could try HipChat free, no credit card required, at HipChat, HipChat.com/twig. Of course, it supports Linux. Sign up, click on Start Chatting, and invite a few team members and try it free for 30 days. In fact, I want to kind of get it going here. So for the first 100 people that respond to this ad, you're going to get 90 days free, 3 months free. HipChat.com/twig. Get on in there. HipChat, your team, your project, in sync, instantly.
HipChat's cool.
What do you use at NetApp?
We use a combination of things. We use Chatter because we're Salesforce. Salespeople use Salesforce. We use Instant Messenger. We use a lot of Cisco tools. But what's nice about HipChat is it kind of combines all that stuff.
It solves that. It solves the problem. And the other thing the is it's encrypted.
Yeah.
End-to-end encrypted. So it's a really good choice for... a team that,
And like you said, especially developers, things that they plug into, the developer tools that they plug into.
Oh, it's so cool.
I don't want to extend the commercial, but I've looked at it and it is a really exciting product.
Well, there's a lot of attention to Slack, Stuart Butterfield's Slack right now. Mm-hmm. But as somebody said, okay, are you going to use a tool designed by Atlassian, by programmers, for teams, or are you going to use a tool by a guy who did Flickr and Glitch?
Right. Right.
Actually, Slack is cool, but HipChat is the tool we use and I'm really fond of it.
Yep.
Aaron, you got something you want to ask? You're doing, I love all the projects and stuff you do and the things you do.
Yeah.
Last time you were here, you brought an old-time radio device that was really a Raspberry Pi.
I love that.
Are you interested in the Windows 10 version of Raspberry Pi?
I am interested in it. I'm interested in it, absolutely. In fact, I just did a review for BYB, which will be coming up shortly, on the Raspberry Pi Model 2, and I forgot to mention, it runs Windows 10.
Yeah. I thought it would be fun to do? Is make a twit box.
Yeah.
Like a Steam box, but it's a twit box.
Right.
Because it has HDMI out and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Low power. We could charge $40 for it.
Yeah.
And then you plug it in and you get twit on it.
And you get twit. Absolutely.
All the time.
You could totally do that. And a lot more. I mean, a lot of people run XBMC or not, it's not XBMC anymore. It's what...
Well, I think that's what we do. We'd put Plex on it or whatever. And,
right.
And then have
it all set up.
But it's set up for twit.
For twit. Yeah. You turn it on and boop. There you go. Choose your show. You could absolutely do it.
So you're doing refrigerator magnets?
Refrigerator magnets. I try to bring something because, I'm a maker at heart and I'm always making something. I figure we need to mix it up a little bit on Twig. So I like to bring a project. So my project today is refrigerator magnets. So don't throw out those old keyboards.
Oh.
A lot of things we talk about at the makerspace is reuse those old electronics. And this is a great way to reuse keyboards. They already have the letters printed on them. So why not just attach some magnets to the back
and use
them as refrigerator magnets?
That's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool and techy, really easy to do. You can just pry those keys right off. You don't have to worry about breaking them because you're going to reuse them anyway. Basically, you just saw off, after you take the keys out, there'll be a little post. Well, here you go. Here's right in the video. See that little post
this
on the back?
This is from Instructables.
This is from Instructables. You just kind of take that little post off where it plugs into the keyboard.
And amazing how easy that is to break off.
I know. It's so simple. Know, well, I've done that to clean keyboards, actually.
You just glue on little those little magnets, and you can even recycle these. I don't know about neat. You, but I get these from real estate agents and stuff. They always send you a calendar that
cut
goes
it
on
up
your
the
fridge.
Calendar and put
just
it in the bag.
Cut up those magnets, reuse the magnets, and then put these on your refrigerator. And, you know,
much
if you've
better.
Got a, yeah, if you've got a couple of keyboards, then you can really start, you know, spelling some cool words or doing some cool. It's kind of like the poetry magnets, you know, but a little geekier. A little more fun.
What fun.
Yeah.
Instructables.com if you want to know more.
Yep. Or just Google keyboard refrigerator magnets. There's several good Instructables and links to projects out there that you could follow.
God bless the hot glue gun.
That's right.
Do you have a favored hot glue gun?
No, just about anything. You can even get them at the dollar store, right? I mean, they work fine. So just about any hot glue gun. Mine has hot and cold. You know, hot and not so hot temperature control, which
I
is
like
nice.
That.
Yeah, kind of and just about any glue gun will work.
A tepid glue gun.
Yep, tepid glue gun. That's right. It's not a hot glue gun.
Jeff, your number of the week?
Well, after, how do you follow Martha Stewart, you know?
I know. It's tough.
R.R. Martha. Recode, Lauren Good, I presume is good, not goody, with an E at the end, but I'll presume good.
I think you're right. It's good, I think, yeah.
I think it is. Okay, good. Said that Google says that the error rate on Google Voice commands is down to 8%. 92% of the time they get it right. So she had a fun story where she just, watching House of Cards, she just tried to use it. And yeah, fine. It's a gimmick. It's a list.
You mean you hold it really up to Frank Underwood and it does searches?
No, it didn't do that. That's too cool. But all the questions she had, she just asked Google.
Yeah.
And you know, I forget to use voice command. And it really does become changing when you do use it. When I do dictate or ask a question, it really does make life a lot easier. And I like this story because it was a whole bunch of questions about House of Cards plus other things in life and what worked and what didn't. And it does work pretty darn well.
Neat.
8%. That's the number.
8% is higher than you think. I mean, So for years we used programs like Dragon Naturally Speaking to dictate, and it was like 90% accurate. That sounds really good. Until you realize that means one in every 10 words you have to retype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And suddenly that's not so good. So
the problem here, I think, is that it utterly flummoxes on some things.
Right.
You know, some restaurant names and stuff. The thing that drives me nuts because I'm driving home and I want to order out for food on the way home. And so I use voice command. I'm not going to type anything. And I'll ask for a restaurant. Like, there's two. There's a place around here called Urban Table. There's two of them. Mm-hmm. There's one near me. I ask for it by town, and Google never gives it to me.
I know. That's frustrating, isn't it?
I can't figure out. I'm giving you the data, Google. Why can't you figure this out?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand.
They're not perfect, it turns out.
Yeah.
That's the revelation of the day.
Isn't that weird? We all kind of have our own ways of looking things up to make sure we get the right thing. I mean, I'm sure that we all do that, right? I do.
Yeah.
I'll type in, you know, I know that if I type in one thing, it's not going to give me the right thing. So I type in, you know, the name of the restaurant.
You game Google.
You game Google. Yeah. You totally game Google after a while.
I just yell louder. That doesn't seem to help at all.
I know. I have said some very nasty words.
Yeah. We all look ridiculous as we're driving. Like we have road rage. We're just upset with like Google can't hear what we're saying in our cars.
I'll bet there's somebody at Google who has a running F count of people screaming at Google.
Well,
now.
Apparently, did you see that article that whose text to speech was being saved?
Siri.
It was Siri.
Yeah.
And a guy, I can't remember if it was Reddit or somewhere, said, hey, by the way, you should know, I work for a company where we're going through these audio transcriptions. There's quite a few of them. And I don't know, they're mining data of some kind out of them. Nothing ominous. But he realized they were actually Siri.
Yeah.
And that all of that stuff is being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was quite entertaining to hear the kinds of things people say to Siri. And apparently there's a database somewhere.
Uh-oh.
You should be aware of that. Yep. I think that big furor over the Samsung TVs always baffled me because I thought, well, don't you know that everybody has to do that? If there's no way that these devices can do voice recognition effectively without being online.
Yep.
The server is always getting your voice after you trigger it.
Have you talked on this show about the fact that all of
all the voice searches you've ever done while logged into Google are actually cataloged for you, and you can hear all those audio files.
Yeah.
And what I found really interesting about this, it doesn't really creep me out that this happens, because I just kind of assume that's just part of how the service works and it's going to happen or whatever. What's weird is, as I've gotten so used to wearing an Android Wear watch all the time, all the random misfires that happen throughout the day, you're talking and then suddenly
I get a lot
pops
of those.
Up. Yeah. So when you look at the list, you see all of these transcriptions. Mm-hmm. Some of them are actual searches, like, okay, Google, search for blah, blah, blah. But others are like parts of your daily life, just like a conversation that you're having or something that you're listening to. And it's really interesting to see it in that perspective and be like, wow, a lot of the things that I intend to be, you know, passed to Google are. And then there's a lot of stuff that I do not intend for Google to have.
I think if there's a writer for The Good Wife watching, you're going to see an episode based around that. Why did the words murder her come up in your Google transcript?
I'm almost tempted to play some of these. This is in your dashboard, right? Google.com/dashboard. Under audio? I think it's under audio, because I see here under audio.
There you go.
I don't know if I dare play any of these.
So you'll see some of them, and I wonder if some of them are, you know, look intentional.
Tell you what it is, Lee.
How about this? You want to listen?
Yes. Okay, Google. How many tablespoons of sugar are there in 16 ounces of soda?
Nice.
That was at a pizza parlor.
A misfire in there, though.
About drinking soda?
Yeah, we were talking. Here, how about this one?
On my way home now. Period. Do you want me to come right home, or is it okay if I stop at the...
So that one's intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm recording. No, all of these are. Some of them are not.
I have tons that are not intentional.
Let me play that. Yeah, I don't know if I want to play this. This is at 9 this morning. You know what?
I know, right?
And by the way, only you can see these.
Yes.
And you can delete them. But yeah, isn't that wild? I don't know if people know that you can
craziness.
See all of these.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, enough of that. Now, time later,
we could all get.
I should have previewed these ahead of time, because I don't know what happened at 9 this morning,
but it was
my watch.
Did
it
you do an
intent?
Oh, okay. No, it was not.
That's why I'm not sure.
Play
I wanna...
it real quick. I can have it in preview, and then
oh,
I.
Oh no, you just want to hear it.
Curious.
You saw my butt yesterday. How much more do you want?
Okay, that's true. I did. What? Anyways, no comment.
We didn't air it, but I was going through it. We were showing how that the deletion in the new iCloud Photos, the beta that Apple's showing off, when you delete it on one thing, deletes it everywhere. And I had very carefully gone through my photos at home before, because I know I show these on the air, and I knew we were going to talk about it. So I went through and deleted anything remotely, you know, scandalous. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, there's like 3 pictures of my...
Yep. Anyway,
not deleted. And unfortunately, Jason saw them all.
The way you can say this is there's 3 pictures of your tattoo.
Right.
Maybe that's what that was about. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there were pictures of your...
Derriere. Yeah. My derriere. A butt selfie.
Belfie.
A belfie.
Belfie. Right.
So I just wanted to give you an update. Have you played with App Inventor at all, or have your kids?
Yeah.
I love App Inventor, and I'm loving it more. Well, I just did because I, you know, so in the radio show, I have to hit, it's a network show, so I have to hit out times very hard by the second out times. And I'm kind of perennially late. And I had written a script for Apple Script, but it wasn't working anymore. So I thought, oh, this might be a good use for my Nexus 7 tablet. I keep it on the charger. So I went to App Inventor. I mentioned this before. It is so easy. You drag and drop in pieces of the user interface in the designer, and then you go in the blocks. I have to admit, as somebody who's written software, I found myself fighting App Inventor because, you know, there's no case statement. So I'm building this like giant if-then-else tree and stuff like that. But ultimately, I did get an app that is really, it works and it's great. And it was very simple. And what happens after you build it, you just, go here and say build. You can either, they'll store it for, I think, a day or two. You can have a QR code that you can just take a picture of and download it. Or you could save it to your computer and email it. So I just saved it. Actually, I saved it to Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And all my devices have Google Drive. So I can go to Google Drive and download the app. And I have it now. And so when it's yellow, it means I have less than 2 minutes before the break. It goes to red with the last minute. If I'm in a, if I'm talking on the show, you know, it's green. If I'm in a commercial, it's blue. And it's just a countdown timer. It's just a big, But this was easy to write. Took me a couple of hours.
Yep.
Put it on my phone. I could put it everywhere. There's limits to what you can do with App Inventor. It's really designed, I think, more to teach kids how to program.
It is. Mm-hmm. It uses kind of the Scratch methodology.
Yeah, it's like Scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you play with things like Tinker, T-Y-N-K-E-R, it's a very similar thing. You can naturally graduate to this. But I think they've done a great job. See, now I only have 30 seconds left. I'm running out of time on the countdown clock.
That's awesome.
It works great.
Good for you.
It's just simple. It's something very simple. You're not going to write the next great app on here, believe me. But for a little utility, and what I think is important is that you got to teach kids. You want it to yourself not to just be consumers, but to be creators.
Right.
Even something as simple as this gives you a sense of mastery over your technology, and you're not quite as helpless.
Yep.
And now I've run out of time, and we're in a commercial break for 342 seconds. No, I didn't do the thing where you make it minutes and seconds.
Right,
I figured
right.
This is good enough.
That's good enough.
And
that's
by the way,
awesome.
Doing that, there's no printf. There's no
right.
Doing that is actually a little bit complicated.
So do you just program in the times for the whole rundown?
Yeah.
Oh.
If I wanted to get fancy, I would put little buttons here that would let you, you know, make it other people do it. But just the idea is that you could do something so simple is really, really great. It's App Inventor, and all you have to do is search for App Inventor. MIT hosts it. Google developed it originally.
Mm-hmm.
MIT hosts it now, and it's free to use. And what's cool is you're programming on the web. You could do it in Google Chrome. It doesn't – there's no – the whole thing's on the web, all your code and everything.
Right. You don't need anything. It's really quick and easy to get started.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. Whew. Counted down to zero and the bomb didn't go off. But this show has. Thank you very much for coming up and joining us here in New York.
Yeah,
really
you bet.
I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Always a pleasure.
You're on the Google Plus. You're on the Twitter. Anything else you want to plug that you're doing?
Well, Floss Weekly. I was on Floss Weekly this morning.
That's what brought you to.
That's
our
what brought
studios?
Me up here. I
awesome.
Said, "Yeah, I kind of coordinated that with between Randall and
nice.
Jason. You know, try
well
to
done.
Get that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, it's absolutely. It was a really fun morning with Randall. If you haven't checked it out, you should go
what
check
was
out
the
Floss
topic?
Weekly. It was a company called. I'm just pulling it up now. I want to make sure.
Every Floss
right.
Weekly is these days has been an open source project of some kind.
Yeah, it? Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, for the last few years, I love that.
And this one is a little bit of a surprising. It's called Crisis Cleanup. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an open source application for managing, after there's a crisis, for managing volunteers.
Wow.
Getting them involved with, mobilizing, essentially. So you've got the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church. They all want to, you know, help out with some
but
sort of disaster.
They don't want to get in each other's way.
They don't want to get in each other's way. Maybe some of them have facilities to do, you know, overnight housing. Some of them have food capabilities. So they can basically take this program and run it and kind of coordinate a little bit better. And it's all based on open source.
I love
really
seeing
fantastic.
Examples of how open source is being used in business and in NGOs and charity. I mean, it's more than just geeks doing databases.
Yeah.
No SQL databases. There's a lot of great stuff going on.
So check that out. One more thing while I've got the camera. If you are in the Bay Area and you'd like to come to a Maker Faire, we're doing our very own Maker Faire in Benicia.
Oh, fun.
It's Benicia Mini Maker Faire. It's on March 28th. And it's for the whole Bay Area. So if you're in this area and you'd like to check it out, it's BeniciaMakerFaire.com. Buy your tickets early because there's going to be a line at the door. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got all kinds of cool stuff.
Maker Faires are so great.
There's an eight or nine-year-old girl who makes something called cardboard video games. I don't know what that is, but I'm really interested to see what she's doing. So she's going to be coming out and showing that off and all kinds of other cool stuff. So check it out.
Very nice. We are done. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week in Google. Inside Twit coming up in a second. This week in Google is every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Remember, we are going to daylight savings time here in California on Sunday.
Also remember, next week, for live fans, we're going to be on early.
Yep. So if you are not on summertime yet, we're going to be springing for, well, let's put it this way. We're on 2000 UTC. Okay, that's all you really need to do. Figure it out what your time differential is from UTC, and you'll know every Wednesday. And yes, next week we are going to be early in the morning. We're going to be 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC, because we're flip-flopping with Windows Weekly. So tune in early if you want to join us live. We love it if you do, but I understand a lot of times you can't. We have on-demand versions of every show we do on the Twit Network at twit.tv, in this case twit.tv/twig, or wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, and the apps on your phone. There's some great Twit apps on almost every platform, including Roku. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig. Bye-bye.